This is Audible.
Penguin Random House Audio presents The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood. Read for you by Callie Dalton. Hypothesis, noun. A supposition or proposed explanation made on the basis of limited evidence as a starting point for further investigation. Example. Based on the available information and the data hitherto collected, my hypothesis is that the farther away I stay from love, the better off I will be. Prologue. Frankly, Olive was a bit on the fence about this whole grad school thing. Not because she didn't like science. She did. She loved science. Science was her thing. And not because of the truckload of obvious red flags. She was well aware that committing to years of unappreciated, underpaid 80-hour work weeks might not be good for her mental health. That nights spent toiling away in front of a Bunsen burner to uncover a trivial slice of knowledge might not be the key to happiness. That devoting her mind and body to academic pursuits with only infrequent breaks to steal unattended bagels might not be a wise choice. She was well aware, and yet none of it worried her. Or maybe it did, a tiny bit, but she could deal. It was something else that held her back from surrendering herself to the most notorious and soul-sucking circle of hell, that is, a PhD program. Held her back, that is, until she was invited to interview for a spot in Stanford's biology department and came across the guy. The guy whose name she never really got. The guy she met after stumbling blindly into the first bathroom she could find. The guy who asked her, out of curiosity, is there a specific reason you're crying in my restroom? Olive squeaked. She tried to open her eyes through the tears and only barely managed to. Her entire field of view was blurry. All she could see was a watery outline, someone tall, dark-haired, dressed in black, and yeah, that was it. Is this the ladies' restroom? She stammered. A pause. Silence. And then, nope. His voice was deep. So deep. Really deep. Dreamy deep. Are you sure?
Yes.
Really?
Fairly, since this is my lab's bathroom.
Well, he had her there. I'm so sorry. Do you need to... She gestured toward the stall, or where she thought the stalls were. Her eyes stung, even closed, and she had to scrunch them shut to dull the burn. She tried to dry her cheeks with her sleeve, but the material of her wrap dress was cheap and flimsy, not half as absorbent as real cotton. Ah, the joys of being impoverished.
I just need to pour this reagent down the drain,
he said. But she didn't hear him move. Maybe because she was blocking the sink. Or maybe because he thought Olive was a weirdo and was contemplating sicking the campus police on her. That would put a brutally quick end to her PhD dreams, wouldn't it?
We don't use this as a restroom, just to dispose of waste and wash equipment.
Oh, sorry. I thought... Poorly. She thought poorly, as was her habit and curse.
Are you okay?
He must be really tall. His voice sounded like it came from 10 feet above her. Sure, why do you ask?
Because you are crying. In my bathroom.
Oh, I'm not crying. Well, I sort of am, but it's just tears, you know?
I do not.
She sighed, slumping against the tiled wall. It's my contacts. They expired some time ago, and they were never that great to begin with. They messed up my eyes. I've taken them off, but... She shrugged, hopefully in his direction. It takes a while before they get better.
You put in expired contacts?
He sounded personally offended. Just a little expired.
What's a little?
I don't know. A few years?
What?
His consonants were sharp and precise. Crisp. Pleasant. Only just a couple, I think.
Just a couple of years?
It's okay. Expiration dates are for the week. A sharp sound. Some kind of snort.
Expiration dates are so I don't find you weeping in the corner of my bathroom.
Unless this dude was Mr. Stanford himself, he really needed to stop calling this his bathroom. It's fine. She waved a hand. She'd have rolled her eyes if they hadn't been on fire. The burning usually lasts only a few minutes.
You mean you've done this before?
She frowned. Done what?
Put in expired contacts.
Of course. Contacts are not cheap.
Neither are eyes.
Humph. Good point. Hey, have we met? Maybe last night at the recruitment dinner with prospective PhD students?
No.
You weren't there?
Not really my scene.
But the free food?
Not worth the small talk.
Maybe he was on a diet, because what kind of PhD student said that? And Olive was sure that he was a PhD student. The haughty, condescending tone was a dead giveaway. All PhD students were like that, thinking they were better than everyone else just because they had the dubious privilege of slaughtering fruit flies in the name of science for 90 cents an hour. In the grim, dark hellscape of academia, graduate students were the lowliest of creatures and therefore had to convince themselves that they were the best. Olive was no clinical psychologist, but it seemed like a pretty textbook defense mechanism.
Are you interviewing for a spot in the program?
He asked. Yep, for next year's biology cohort. God, her eyes were burning. What about you? She asked, pressing her palms into them.
Me.
How long have you been here?
Here.
A pause.
6 years, give or take.
Oh, are you graduating soon then?
I...
She picked up on his hesitation and instantly felt guilty. Wait, you don't have to tell me. First rule of grad school. Don't ask about other grads' dissertation timeline. A beat, and then another.
Right.
Sorry. She wished she could see him. Social interactions were hard enough to begin with. The last thing she needed was fewer cues to go by. I didn't mean to channel your parents at Thanksgiving. He laughed softly.
You could never.
Oh, she smiled. Annoying parents?
And even worse Thanksgivings.
That's what you Americans get for leaving the Commonwealth. She held out her hand in what she hoped was his general direction. I'm Olive, by the way, like the tree. She was starting to wonder whether she'd just introduced herself to the drain disposal when she heard him step closer. The hand that closed around hers was dry and warm and so large it could have enveloped her whole fist. Everything about him must be huge. Height, fingers, voice. It was not entirely unpleasant.
You're not American?
He asked. Canadian. Listen, if you happen to talk with anyone who's on the admissions committee, would you mind not mentioning my contacts mishap? It might make me seem like a less than stellar applicant.
You think so?
He deadpanned. She would have glared at him if she could. Though maybe she was doing a decent job of it anyway because he laughed. Just a huff, but Olive could tell. And she kind of liked it. He let go of her, and she realized that she'd been gripping his hand. Oops.
Are you planning to enroll?
He asked. She shrugged. I might not get an offer. But she and the professor she'd interviewed with, Dr. Aslan, had really hit it off. Olive had stuttered and mumbled much less than usual. Plus, her GRE scores and GPA were almost perfect. Not having a life came in handy sometimes.
Are you planning to enroll if you get an offer then?
She'd be stupid not to. This was Stanford, after all. One of the best biology programs. Or at least, that was what Olive had been telling herself to cover the petrifying truth. Which was that, frankly, she was a bit on the fence about this whole grad school thing. Maybe. I must say, the line between excellent career choice and critical life screw-up is getting a bit blurry.
Seems like you're leaning towards screw-up.
He sounded like he was smiling. No. Well, I just...
You just...
She bit her lip. What if I'm not good enough? She blurted out. And why? God, why was she bearing the deepest fears of her secret little heart to this random bathroom guy? And what was the point anyway? Every time she aired out her doubts to friends and acquaintances, they all automatically offered the same trite, meaningless encouragements. You'll be fine. You can do it. I believe in you. This guy was surely going to do the same. Coming up. Any moment now. Any second.
Why do you want to do it?
Do what?
Get a PhD. What's your reason?
Olive cleared her throat. I've always had an inquisitive mind, and graduate school is the ideal environment to foster that. It'll give me important transferable skills. He snorted. She frowned. What?
Not the line you found in an interview prep book. Why do you want a PhD?
It's true, she insisted, a bit weakly. I want to sharpen my research abilities.
Is it because you don't know what else to do?
No.
Because you didn't get an industry position?
No, I didn't even apply for industry.
Ah.
He moved, a large, blurry figure stepping next to her to pour something down the sink. Olive could smell a whiff of eugenol and laundry detergent and clean male skin. An oddly nice combination. I need more freedom than industry can offer.
You won't have much freedom in academia.
His voice was closer, like he hadn't stepped back yet.
You'll have to fund your work through ludicrously competitive research grants. You'd make better money in a 9-to-5 job that actually allows you to entertain the concept of weekends.
Olive scowled. Are you trying to get me to decline my offer? Is this some kind of anti-expired contacts wearers campaign?
Nah.
She could hear his smile.
I'll go ahead and trust that it was just a misstep.
I wear them all the time, and they almost never...
In a long line of missteps, clearly.
He sighed.
Here's the deal. I have no idea if you're good enough, but that's not what you should be asking yourself. Academia's a lot of bucks for very little bang. What matters is whether your reason to be in academia is good enough. So, why the PhD, Olive?
She thought about it, and thought even more, and then she spoke carefully. I have a question, a specific research question, something that I want to find out. There, done. This was the answer. Something I'm afraid no one else will discover if I don't.
A question.
She felt the air shift and realized that he was now leaning against the sink. Yes. Her mouth felt dry. Something that's important to me. And I don't trust anyone else to do it. Because they haven't so far. Because something bad happened. Because I want to do my part. So that it won't happen again. Heavy thoughts to have in the presence of a stranger, in the darkness of her closed eyelids. So she cracked them open. Her vision was still blurry, but the burning was mostly gone. The guy was looking at her, fuzzy around the edges, perhaps, but so very there, waiting patiently for her to continue. It's important to me, she repeated, the research that I want to do. Olive was 23 and alone in the world. She didn't want weekends or a decent salary. She wanted to go back in time. She wanted to be less lonely. But since that was impossible, she'd settle for fixing what she could. He nodded but said nothing as he straightened and took a few steps toward the door, clearly leaving. Is mine a good enough reason to go to grad school? She called after him. Hating how eager for approval she sounded. It was possible that she was in the midst of some sort of existential crisis.
He paused and looked back at her.
It's the best one.
He was smiling, she thought, or something like it.
Good luck on your interview, Olive.
Thanks. He was almost out the door already. Maybe I'll see you next year, she babbled, flushing a little. If I get in, and if you haven't graduated.
Maybe,
she heard him say. With that, the guy was gone, and Olive never got his name. But a few weeks later, when the Stanford biology department extended her an offer, she accepted it without hesitating. Chapter 1. Hypothesis. When given a choice between A, a slightly inconveniencing situation, and B, a colossal shitshow with devastating consequences, I will inevitably end up selecting B. 2 years, 11 months later. In Olive's defense, the man didn't seem to mind the kiss too much. It did take him a moment to adjust, perfectly understandable, given the sudden circumstances. It was an awkward, uncomfortable, somewhat painful minute in which Olive was simultaneously smashing her lips against his and pushing herself as high as her toes would extend to keep her mouth at the same level as his face. Did he have to be so tall? The kiss must have looked like some clumsy headbutt, and she grew anxious that she was not going to be able to pull the whole thing off. Her friend Ann, whom Olive had spotted coming her way a few seconds ago, was going to take one look at this and know at once that Olive and Kiss Dude couldn't possibly be two people in the middle of a date. Then, that agonizingly slow moment went by, and the kiss became different. The man inhaled sharply and inclined his head a tiny bit, making Olive feel less like a squirrel monkey climbing a baobab tree, and his hands, which were large and pleasantly warm in the AC of the hallway, closed around her waist. They slid up a few inches, coming to wrap around Olive's ribcage and holding her to himself, not too close and not too far. Just so. It was more of a prolonged peck than anything, but it was quite nice. And for the lifespan of a few seconds, Olive forgot a large number of things, including the fact that she was pressed against a random, unknown dude. That she'd barely had the time to whisper, "Can I please kiss you?" before locking lips with him. That what had originally driven her to put on this entire show was the hope of fooling Ann, her best friend in the whole world. But a good kiss will do that, make a girl forget herself for a while. Olive found herself melting into a broad, solid chest that showed absolutely no give. Her hands traveled from a defined jaw into surprisingly thick and soft hair. And then she heard herself sigh, as if already out of breath. And that's when it hit her like a brick on the head, the realization that, no, no, nope, nope, no. She should not be enjoying this. Random dude and all that? Olive gasped and pushed herself away from him, frantically looking for Ann. In the 11 p.m. bluish glow of the biology lab's hallway, her friend was nowhere to be seen. Weird. Olive was sure she had spotted her a few seconds earlier. Kiss Dude, on the other hand, was standing right in front of her, lips parted, chest rising, and a weird light flickering in his eyes. Which was exactly when it dawned on her the enormity of what she had just done. Of who she had just... Fuck her life. Fuck her life. Because Dr. Adam Carlson was a known ass. This fact was not remarkable in and of itself. As in academia, every position above the graduate student level, Olive's level, sadly, required some degree of assness in order to be held for any length of time, with tenured faculty at the very peak of the ass pyramid. Dr. Carlson, though, he was exceptional. At least if the rumors were anything to go by. He was the reason Olive's roommate, Malcolm, had to completely scrap two research projects and would likely end up graduating a year late the one who had made Jeremy throw up from anxiety before his qualifying exams. The sole culprit for half the students in the department being forced to postpone their thesis defenses. Joe, who used to be in Olive's cohort and would take her to watch out-of-focus European movies with microscopic subtitles every Thursday night, had been a research assistant in Carlson's lab. But he'd decided to drop out 6 months into it for reasons. It was probably for the best, since most of Carlson's remaining graduate assistants had perennially shaky hands and often looked like they hadn't slept in a year. Dr. Carlson might have been a young academic rock star and biology's wunderkind, but he was also mean and hypercritical. And it was obvious in the way he spoke, in the way he carried himself, that he thought himself the only person doing decent science within the Stanford biology department. Within the entire world, probably. He was a notoriously moody, obnoxious, terrifying dick. And Olive had just kissed him. She wasn't sure how long the silence lasted, only that he was the one to break it. He stood in front of Olive, ridiculously intimidating, with dark eyes and even darker hair, staring down from who knows how many inches above 6 feet. He must have been over half a foot taller than she was. He scowled, an expression that she recognized from seeing him attend the departmental seminar, a look that usually preceded him raising his hand to point out some perceived fatal flaw in the speaker's work. Adam Carlson, destroyer of research careers, Olive had once overheard her advisor say. It's okay. It's fine. Totally fine. She was just going to pretend nothing had happened, nod at him politely, and tiptoe her way out of here. Yes, solid plan.
Did you just kiss me?
He sounded puzzled, and maybe a little out of breath. His lips were full and plump and, God, kissed. There was simply no way Olive could get away with denying what she had just done. Still, it was worth a try. Nope. Surprisingly, it seemed to work.
Ah, okay then.
Carlson nodded and turned around, looking vaguely disoriented. He took a couple of steps down the hallway, reached the water fountain, maybe where he'd been headed in the first place. Olive was starting to believe that she might actually be off the hook when he halted and turned back with a skeptical expression.
Are you sure?
Damn it. She buried her face in her hands. It's not the way it looks.
Okay. Okay,
he repeated slowly. His voice was deep and low, and sounded a lot like he was on his way to getting mad. Like maybe he was already mad.
What's going on here?
There was simply no way to explain this. Any normal person would have found Olive's situation odd, but Adam Carlson, who obviously considered empathy a bug and not a feature of humanity, could never understand. She let her hands fall to her sides and took a deep breath. Listen, I don't mean to be rude, but this is really none of your business. He stared at her for a moment, and then he nodded.
Yes, of course.
He must be getting back into his usual groove, because his tone had lost some of its surprise and was back to normal. Dry. Laconic.
I'll just go back to my office and begin to work on my Title IX complaint.
Olive exhaled in relief. Yeah, that would be great since... Wait, you're what? He cocked his head.
Title IX is a federal law that protects against sexual misconduct within academic settings.
I know what Title IX is.
I see. So you willfully chose to disregard it.
What? No, I didn't. He shrugged.
I must be mistaken then. Someone else must have assaulted me.
Assault? I didn't assault you.
You did kiss me.
But not really.
Without first securing my consent.
I asked if I could kiss you.
And then did so without waiting for my response.
What? You said yes.
Excuse me?
She frowned. I asked if I could kiss you and you said yes.
Incorrect. You asked if you could kiss me and I snorted.
I'm pretty sure I heard you say yes. He lifted one eyebrow, and for a minute, Olive let herself daydream of drowning someone. Dr. Carlson, herself, both sounded like great options. Listen, I'm really sorry. It was a weird situation. Can we just forget that this happened? He studied her for a long moment, his angular face serious and something else, something that she couldn't quite decipher because she was too busy noticing all over again how damn towering and broad he was. Just massive. Olive had always been slight, just the side of too slender. The girls who are 5'8" rarely felt diminutive, at least until they found themselves standing next to Adam Carlson. She'd known that he was tall, of course, from seeing him around the department or walking across campus, from sharing the elevator with him, but they'd never interacted, never been this close. Except for a second ago, Olive, when you almost put your tongue in his...
Is there something wrong?
He sounded almost concerned. What? No. No, there isn't.
Because, he continued calmly, kissing a stranger at midnight in a science lab might be a sign that there is.
There isn't. Carlson nodded, thoughtful.
Very well. Expect mail in the next few days, then.
He began to walk past her, and she turned to yell after him. You didn't even ask my name.
I'm sure anyone could figure it out, since you must have swiped your badge to get in the lab's area after hours. Have a good night.
Wait! She leaned forward and stopped him with a hand on his wrist. He paused immediately, even though it was obvious that it would take him no effort to free himself, and stared pointedly at the spot where her fingers had wrapped around his skin, right below a wristwatch that probably cost half her yearly graduate salary, or all of it. She let go of him at once and took one step back. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
The kiss. Explain.
Olive bit into her lower lip. She had truly screwed herself over. She had to tell him now. An fam? She looked around to make sure An was really gone. The girl who was passing by? She's a graduate student in the biology department. Carlson gave no indication of knowing who An was. An has... Olive pushed a strand of brown hair behind her ear. This was where the story became embarrassing, complicated, and a little juvenile sounding. I was seeing this guy in the department, Jeremy Langley. He has red hair and works with Dr. Anyway, we went out just a couple of times, and then I brought him to An's birthday party, and they just sort of hit it off, and... Olive shut her eyes, which was probably a bad idea, because now she could see it painted on her lids, how her best friend and her date had bantered in that bowling alley as if they'd known each other their whole lives, the never-exhausted topics of conversation, the laughter, and then, at the end of the night, Jeremy following An's every move with his gaze. It had been painfully clear who he was interested in. Olive waved a hand and tried for a smile. Long story short, after Jeremy and I ended things, he asked An out. She said no because of girl code and all that, but I can tell that she really likes him. She's afraid to hurt my feelings, and no matter how many times I told her it was fine, she wouldn't believe me. Not to mention that the other day I overheard her confess to our friend Malcolm that she thought Jeremy was awesome, but she could never betray me by going out with him, and she sounded so dejected, disappointed, and insecure. Not at all like the spunky, larger-than-life An I am used to. So I just lied and told her that I was already dating someone else, because she's one of my closest friends, and I'd never seen her like a guy this much, and I want her to have the good things she deserves, and I'm positive that she would do the same for me, and... Olive realized that she was rambling and that Carlson couldn't have cared less. She stopped and swallowed, even though her mouth felt dry. Tonight. I told her I'd be on a date tonight.
Ah.
His expression was unreadable. But I'm not, so I decided to come in to work on an experiment, but Ann showed up too. She wasn't supposed to be here, but she was, coming this way. And I panicked. Well, Olive wiped a hand down her face. I didn't really think. Carlson didn't say anything, but it was there in his eyes that he was thinking. Obviously. I just needed her to believe that I was on a date. He nodded.
So you kissed the first person you saw in the hallway. Perfectly logical.
Olive winced. When you put it like that, perhaps it wasn't my best moment.
Perhaps.
But it wasn't my worst either. I'm pretty sure Ann saw us. Now she'll think that I was on a date with you, and she'll hopefully feel free to go out with Jeremy, and... She shook her head. Listen, I'm so sorry about the kiss.
Are you?
Please don't report me. I really thought I heard you say yes. I promise I didn't mean to... Suddenly, the enormity of what she had just done fully dawned on her. She had just kissed a random guy. A guy who happened to be the most notoriously unpleasant faculty member in the biology department. She'd misunderstood a snort for consent. She'd basically attacked him in the hallway. And now he was staring at her in that odd, pensive way. So large and focused and close to her and... Shit. Maybe it was the late night. Maybe it was that her last coffee had been 16 hours ago. Maybe it was Adam Carlson looking down at her like that. All of a sudden, this entire situation was just too much. Actually, you're absolutely right, and I am so sorry. If you felt in any way harassed by me, you really should report me, because it's only fair. It was a horrible thing to do, though I really didn't want to. Not that my intentions matter. It's more like your perception of... Crap. I'm going to leave now, okay? Thank you. And I am so sorry. Olive spun around on her heels and ran down the hallway.
Olive!
She heard him call after her.
Olive, wait!
She didn't stop. She sprinted down the stairs to the first floor and then out the building and across the pathways of the sparsely lit Stanford campus, running past a girl walking her dog and a group of students laughing in front of the library. She continued until she was standing in front of her apartment's door, stopping only to unlock it, making a beeline for her room in the hope of avoiding her roommate and whoever he might have brought home tonight. It wasn't until she slumped on her bed, staring at the glow-in-the-dark stars glued to her ceiling, that she realized she had neglected to check on her lab mice. She had also left her laptop on her bench and her sweatshirt somewhere in the lab, and she had completely forgotten to stop at the store and buy the coffee she'd promised Malcolm she'd get for tomorrow morning. Shit. What a disaster of a day. It never occurred to Olive that Dr. Adam Carlson, known as, had called her by her name. Chapter 2. Hypothesis. Any rumor regarding my love life will spread with a speed that is directly proportional to my desire to keep said rumor a secret. Olive Smith was a rising third-year PhD student in one of the best biology departments in the country, one that housed more than 100 grads and what often felt like several million majoring undergrads. She had no idea what the exact number of faculty was, but judging from the mailboxes in the copy room, she'd say that a safe guess was too many. Therefore, she reasoned that if she'd never had the misfortune of interacting with Adam Carlson in the 2 years before the night, it had been only a handful of days since the kissing incident, but Olive already knew that she'd think of last Friday as the night for the rest of her life. It was entirely possible that she might be able to finish grad school without crossing paths with him ever again. In fact, she was fairly sure that not only did Adam Carlson have no idea who she was, but he also had no desire to learn, and had probably already forgotten all about what happened. Unless, of course, she was catastrophically wrong and he did end up filing a Title IX lawsuit, in which case she supposed that she would see him again when she pleaded guilty in federal court. Olive figured that she could waste her time fretting about legal fees, or she could focus on what were more pressing issues, like the approximately 500 slides she had to prepare for the neurobiology class that she was slated to TA in the fall semester, which was starting in less than 2 weeks, or the note Malcolm had left this morning telling her he'd seen a cockroach scurry under the credenza, even though their apartment was already full of traps, or the most crucial one, the fact that her research project had reached a critical point and she desperately needed to find a bigger, significantly richer lab to carry out her experiment. Otherwise, what could very well become a groundbreaking, clinically relevant study might end up languishing on a handful of petri dishes stacked in the crisper drawer of her fridge. Olive opened her laptop with half a mind to Google organs one can live without and how much cash for them, but got sidetracked by the 20 new emails she'd received while busy with her lab animals. They were almost exclusively from predatory journals, Nigerian prince wannabes, and one glitter company whose newsletter she'd signed up for 6 years ago to get a free tube of lipstick. Olive quickly marked them as read, eager to go back to her experiments, and then noticed that one message was actually a reply to something she had sent. A reply from... Holy crap. Holy crap! She clicked on it so hard, she almost sprained her pointer finger. Today, 3:15 p.m., from Tom Benton at Harvard EDU to Olive Smith at Stanford EDU. Subject, regarding pancreatic cancer screening project. Olive, your project sounds good. I'll be visiting Stanford in about 2 weeks. Why don't we chat then? Cheers, TB. Tom Benton, PhD, Associate Professor, Department of Biological Sciences, Harvard University. Her heart skipped a beat. Then it started galloping. Then it slowed down to a crawl. And then she felt her blood pulsate in her eyelids, which couldn't be healthy, but yes. Yes, she had a taker. Almost. Probably. Maybe. Definitely maybe. Tom Benton had said, good. He had said that it sounded good. It had to be a good sign, right? She frowned, scrolling down to reread the email she'd sent him several weeks earlier. July 7th, 8:19 a.m. From Olive Smith at Stanford EDU to Tom Benton at Harvard EDU. Subject, pancreatic cancer screening project. Dr. Benton, my name is Olive Smith, and I'm a PhD student in the biology department of Stanford University. My research focuses on pancreatic cancer, in particular on finding non-invasive, affordable detection tools that could lead to early treatment and increase survival rates. I have been working on blood biomarkers with promising results. You can read about my preliminary work in the peer-reviewed paper I have attached. I have also submitted more recent unpublished findings to this year's Society for Biological Discovery conference. Acceptance is pending, but see the attached abstract. The next step would be to carry out additional studies to determine the feasibility of my test kit. Unfortunately, in my current lab, Dr. Aishagul Aslans, who is retiring in 2 years, does not have the funding or the equipment to allow me to proceed. She is encouraging me to find a larger cancer research lab where I could spend the next academic year to collect the data I need. Then I would return to Stanford to analyze and write up the data. I am a huge fan of the work you have published on pancreatic cancer, and I was wondering whether there might be a possibility to carry out my work in your lab at Harvard. I am happy to talk in more detail about my project if you are interested. Sincerely, Olive. Olive Smith, PhD candidate, Biology Department, Stanford University. If Tom Benton, cancer researcher extraordinaire, came to Stanford and gave Olive 10 minutes of his time, she could convince him to help her out with her research predicament. Well, maybe. Olive was much better at actually doing research than at selling its importance to others. Science communication and public speaking of any sort were definitely her big weaknesses. but she had a chance to show Benton how promising her results were. She could list the clinical benefits of her work, and she could explain how little she required to turn her project into a huge success. All she needed was a quiet bench in a corner of his lab, a couple hundred of his lab mice, and unlimited access to his $20 million electron microscope. Benton wouldn't even notice her. Olive headed for the break room, mentally writing an impassioned speech on how she was willing to use his facilities only at night and limit her oxygen consumption to less than 5 breaths per minute. She poured herself a cup of stale coffee and turned around to find someone scowling right behind her. She startled so hard that she almost burned herself. "Jesus!" She clutched her chest, took a deep breath, and held tighter onto her Scooby-Doo mug. "Hon, you scared the shit out of me." "Olive?" It was a bad sign. An never called her Olive. Never. Unless she was reprimanding her for biting her nails to the quick or for having vitamin gummies for dinner. "Hey, how was your..." "The other night." "Damn it." "Weekend." "Dr. Carlson?" "Damn it, damn it, damn it." "What about him?" "I saw the two of you together." "Oh, really?" Olive's surprise sounded painfully play-acted, even to her own ears. Maybe she should have signed up for drama club in high school instead of playing every single sport available. "Yes, here, in the department." "Oh, cool. I didn't see you or I'd have said hi." An frowned. "All, I saw you. I saw you with Carlson. You know that I saw you. And I know that you know that I saw you, because you've been avoiding me." "I have not." An gave her one of her formidable no-bullshit looks. It was probably the one she used as president of the Student Senate, as head of the Stanford Women in Science Association, as director of outreach for the Organization of BIPOC Scientists. There was no fight An couldn't win. She was fearsome and indomitable, and Olive loved this about her. But not right now. "You haven't answered any of my messages for the past 2 days. We usually text every hour." They did, multiple times. Olive switched the mug to her left hand, for no reason other than to buy some time. "I've been... busy?" "Busy?" An's eyebrows shot up. "Busy kissing Carlson?" Oh, that was just..." An nodded, as if to encourage her to finish the sentence. When it became obvious that Olive couldn't, An continued for her. "That was, no offense all, but that was the most bizarre kiss I have ever seen." "Calm, stay calm. She doesn't know. She cannot know." "I doubt that," Olive retorted weakly. "Take that upside-down Spider-Man kiss. That was way more bizarre than..." "All, you said you were on a date that night. You're not dating Carlson, are you?" She twisted her face in a grimace. It would have been so easy to confess the truth. Since starting grad school, An and Olive had done heaps of moronic things, together and separately. The time Olive panicked and kissed none other than Adam Carlson could become one of them, one they laughed about during their weekly beer and s'mores nights. Or not. There was a chance that if Olive admitted to lying now, An might never trust her again. Or that she'd never go out with Jeremy. And as much as the idea of her best friend dating her ex had Olive wanting to puke just a bit, the thought of said best friend being anything but happy had her wanting to puke a lot more. The situation was depressingly simple. Olive was alone in the world. She had been for a long time. Ever since high school. She had trained herself not to make a big deal out of it. She was sure many people were alone in the world and found themselves having to write down made-up names and phone numbers on their emergency contact forms. During college and her master's, focusing on science and research had been her way of coping, and she had been perfectly ready to spend the rest of her life holed up in a lab with little more than a beaker and a handful of pipettes as her faithful companions. Until... An. In a way, it had been love at first sight. First day of grad school, biology cohort orientation. Olive entered the conference room, looked around, and sat in the first free seat she could find, petrified. She was the only woman in the room, virtually alone in a sea of white men who were already talking about boats and whatever sports ball was on TV the night before and the best routes to drive places. I have made a terrible mistake, she thought. The guy in the bathroom was wrong. I should never have come here. I am never going to fit in. And then a girl with curly dark hair and a pretty round face plopped in the chair next to hers and muttered, "So much for the STEM program's commitment to inclusivity, am I right?" That was the moment everything changed. They could have just been allies. As the only two non-cis white male students in their year, they could have found solace together when some bitching was needed and ignored each other otherwise. Olive had lots of friends like that. All of them, actually, circumstantial acquaintances whom she thought of fondly, but not very often. Ann, though, had been different from the start. Maybe because they'd soon found out that they loved spending their Saturday nights eating junk food and falling asleep to rom-coms. Maybe it was the way she'd insisted on dragging Olive to every single Women in STEM support group on campus and had wowed everyone with her bullseye comments. Maybe it was that she'd opened up to Olive and explained how hard it had been for her to get where she was today. The way her older brothers had made fun of her and called her a nerd for loving math so much growing up, at an age when being a nerd was not quite considered cool. That time a physics professor asked her if she was in the wrong class on the first day of the semester. The fact that despite her grades and research experience, even her academic advisor had seemed skeptical when she'd decided to pursue STEM higher education. Olive, whose path to grad school had been rough, but not nearly as rough, was befuddled, then enraged, and then in absolute awe when she understood the self-doubt that Ann had been able to harness into sheer fierceness. And for some unimaginable reason, Ann seemed to like Olive just as much. When Olive's stipend hadn't quite stretched to the end of the month, Ann had shared her instant ramen. When Olive's computer had crashed without backups, Ann had stayed up all night to help her rewrite her crystallography paper. When Olive had nowhere to go over the holidays, Ann would bring her friend home to Michigan and let her large family ply Olive with delicious food while rapid Vietnamese flowed around her. When Olive had felt too stupid for the program and had considered dropping out, Ann had talked her out of it. The day Olive met Ann's rolling eyes, a life-changing friendship was born. Slowly, they'd begun to include Malcolm and become a bit of a trio. But Ann was her person, family. Olive hadn't even thought that was possible for someone like her. Ann rarely asked anything for herself, and even though they'd been friends for more than 2 years, Olive had never seen her show interest in dating anyone. Until Jeremy. Pretending that she'd been on a date with Carlson was the least Olive could do to ensure her friend's happiness. So she bucked up, smiled, and tried to keep her tone reasonably even while asking, "What do you mean?" "I mean that we talk every minute of every day, and you never mentioned Carlson before. My closest friend is supposedly seeing the superstar professor of the department, and somehow I've never heard of it. You know his reputation, right? Is it some kind of joke? Do you have a brain tumor? Do I have a brain tumor?" This was what happened whenever Olive lied. She ended up having to tell even more lies to cover her first, and she was horrible at it, which meant that each lie got worse and less convincing than the previous. There was no way she could fool Ann. There was no way she could fool anybody. Ann was going to get mad, then Jeremy was going to get mad, then Malcolm too, and then Olive was going to find herself utterly alone. The heartbreak was going to make her flunk out of grad school. She was going to lose her visa and her only source of income and move back to Canada, where it snowed all the time and people ate moose heart and...
"Hey."
The voice, deep and even, came from somewhere behind Olive. but she didn't need to turn to know that it was Carlson's. Just like she didn't need to turn to know that the large, warm weight suddenly steadying her, a firm but barely there pressure applied to the center of her lower back, was Carlson's hand, about 2 inches above her ass. Holy crap. Olive twisted her neck and looked up, and up, and up, and a bit more up. She was not a short woman, but he was just big. Oh, hey.
Is everything okay?
He said it looking into her eyes, in a low, intimate tone, like they were alone, like Ann was not there. He said it in a way that should have made Olive uncomfortable, but didn't. For some inexplicable reason, his presence in the room soothed her, even though until a second ago she had been freaking out. Perhaps two different types of unease neutralized each other? It sounded like a fascinating research topic, worth pursuing. Maybe Olive should abandon biology and switch to psychology. Maybe she should excuse herself and go run a literature search. Maybe she should expire on the spot to avoid facing this crap fest of a situation she'd put herself in. Yes, yes, everything is great. Ann and I were just chatting about our weekends. Carlson looked at Ann, as though realizing for the first time that she was in the room. He acknowledged her existence with one of those brief nods dudes used to greet others. His hand slid lower on Olive's spine, just as Ann's eyes widened.
Nice to meet you, Ann. I've heard a lot about you,
Carlson said. And he was good at this, Olive had to admit, because she was sure that from Ann's angle, it looked like he was groping her. But in fact, he was not. Olive could barely feel his hand on her. Just a little, maybe. The warmth and the slight pressure and nice to meet you, too. Ann looked thunderstruck, like she might pass out. I was just about to leave. All? I'm going to text you when... Yeah. She was out of the room before Olive could answer, which was good because Olive didn't need to come up with more lies. But also, slightly less good, because now it was just her and Carlson, standing way too close. Olive would have paid good money to say that she was the one to put some distance between them, but the embarrassing truth was that it was Carlson who stepped away first, enough to give her the space she needed, and then some.
Is everything okay?
He asked again. His tone was still soft, not something she would have expected from him. Yes. Yes, I just... Olive waved her hand. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you hear what she said about Friday and...
I did. That's why I...
He looked at her, and then at his hand, the one that had been warming her back a few seconds ago, and Olive immediately understood. Thank you, she repeated. Because Adam Carlson might have been a known ass, but Olive was feeling pretty damn grateful right at the moment. Also, I couldn't help noticing that no agents from the Federal Bureau of Investigation have knocked on my door to arrest me in the past 72 hours. The corner of his mouth twitched, minimally.
Is that so?
Olive nodded. Which makes me think that maybe you haven't filed that complaint, even though it would have been totally within your rights. So thank you for that. And for stepping in right now. You saved me a lot of trouble. Carlson stared at her for a long moment, looking suddenly like he did during seminar, when people mixed up theory and hypothesis, or admitted to using list-wise deletion instead of imputation.
You shouldn't need someone to step in.
Olive stiffened. Right. Known ass. Well, it's not as if I asked you to do anything. I was going to handle it by myself.
And you shouldn't have to lie about your relationship status, he continued. Especially not so that your friend and your boyfriend can get together guilt-free. That's not how friendship works, last I checked.
Oh. So he'd actually been listening when Olive vomited her life story at him. It's not like that. He lifted an eyebrow, and Olive raised a hand in defense. Jeremy wasn't really my boyfriend, and An didn't ask me for anything. I'm not some sort of victim. I just want my friend to be happy.
By lying to her,
he added dryly. Well, yeah, but she thinks we're dating, you and I. Olive blurted out. God, the implications were too ridiculous to bear.
Wasn't that the point?
Yeah. She nodded, and then remembered the coffee in her hand and took a sip from her mug. It was still warm. The conversation with An couldn't have lasted more than 5 minutes. Yeah, I guess it was. By the way, I'm Olive Smith, in case you're still interested in filing that complaint. I'm a PhD student in Dr. Oslin's lab.
I know who you are.
Oh. Maybe he had looked her up then. Olive tried to imagine him combing through the current PhD students section on the department website. Olive's picture had been taken by the program secretary on her third day of grad school, well before she had become fully aware of what she was in for. She had made an effort to look good, tamed her wavy brown hair, put on mascara to pop the green of her eyes, even attempted to hide her freckles with some borrowed foundation. It had been before she'd realized how ruthless, how cutthroat academia could be. Before the sense of inadequacy, before the constant fear that even if she was good at research, she might never be able to truly make it as an academic. She had been smiling, a real, actual smile. Okay.
I'm Adam Carlson. I'm faculty in.
She burst out laughing in his face, and then regretted it immediately as she noticed his confused expression, as though he'd seriously thought Olive might not know who he was, as though he was unaware of being one of the most prominent scholars in the field. The modesty was not at all like Adam Carlson. Olive cleared her throat. Right, I know who you are too, Dr. Carlson.
You should probably call me Adam.
Oh no. That would be way too...
No, the department was not like that.
Grads didn't call faculty by their first names. I could never...
If An happens to be around.
Oh, yeah. It made sense. Thank you. I hadn't thought of that. Or of anything else, really. Clearly, her brain had stopped working 3 days ago, when she'd decided that kissing him to save her own ass was a good idea. If that's okay with you, I'm going to go home, because this whole thing was kind of stressful and... I was going to run an experiment, but I really need to sit on the couch and watch American Ninja Warrior for 45 minutes while eating Cool Ranch Doritos, which taste surprisingly better than you'd give them credit for. He nodded.
I'll walk you to your car.
I'm not that distraught.
In case An's still around.
Oh. It was, Olive had to admit, a kind offer. Surprisingly so. Especially because it came from Adam, I'm too good for this department, Carlson. Olive knew that he was a dick, so she couldn't quite understand why today he didn't seem to be one. Maybe she should just blame her own appalling behavior, which would make anyone look good by comparison. Thanks, but no need. She could tell that he didn't want to insist, but couldn't help himself.
I'd feel better if you let me walk you to your car.
I don't have a car. I'm a grad student living in Stanford, California. I make less than $30,000 a year. My rent takes up 2/3 of my salary. I've been wearing the same pair of contacts since May, and I go to every seminar that provides refreshments to save on meals. She didn't bother adding. She had no idea how old Carlson was, but it couldn't have been that long ago that he was a grad student.
Do you take the bus?
I bike, and my bike is right at the entrance of the building. He opened his mouth, and then closed it, and then opened it again. You kissed that mouth, Olive, and it was a good kiss.
There are no bike lanes around here.
She shrugged. I like to live dangerously. Cheaply, she meant. And I have a helmet. She turned to set her mug on the first surface she could find. She'd retrieve it later. Or not, if someone stole it. Who cared? She'd gotten it from a postdoc who'd left academia to become a DJ anyway. For the second time in less than a week, Carlson had saved her ass. For the second time, she couldn't stand being with him a minute longer. I'll see you around, okay? His chest rose as he inhaled deeply.
Yeah, okay.
Olive got out of the room as fast as she could. Is it a prank? It must be a prank. Am I on national TV? Where are the hidden cameras? How do I look? It's not a prank. There are no cameras. Olive adjusted the strap of her backpack on her shoulder and stepped to the side to avoid being run over by an undergrad on an electric scooter. But now that you mention it, you look great, especially for 7:30 in the morning. An didn't blush, but it was a close thing. Last night, I did one of those face masks that you and Malcolm got me for my birthday, the one that looks like a panda. And I got a new sunscreen that's supposed to give you a bit of a glow. And I put on mascara, she added hastily under her breath. Olive could ask her why she'd gone the extra mile to look nice on a run-of-the-mill Tuesday morning, but she already knew the answer. Jeremy's and An's labs were on the same floor, and while the biology department was large, chance encounters were very much a possibility. She hid a smile. As weird as the idea of a best friend dating an ex might sound, she was glad that An was starting to allow herself to consider Jeremy romantically. Mostly, it was nice to know that the indignity Olive had put herself through with Carlson on the night was paying off. That, together with Tom Benton's very promising email about her research project, had Olive thinking that things might be finally looking up. Okay. An chewed on her lower lip, deep in concentration. So it's not a prank, which means that there must be another explanation. Let me find it. There is no explanation to be found. We just... Oh my God, are you trying to get citizenship? Are they deporting you back to Canada because we've been sharing Malcolm's Netflix password? Tell them we didn't know it was a federal crime. No, wait. Don't tell them anything until we get you a lawyer. And all... I will marry you. I'll get you a green card and you won't have to... On. Olive squeezed her friend's hand tighter to get her to shut up for a second. I promise you, I'm not getting deported. I just went on a single date with Carlson. On scrunched her face and dragged Olive to a bench on the side of the path, forcing her to sit down. Olive complied, telling herself that were their positions inverted, had she caught On kissing Adam Carlson, she'd probably have the same reaction. Hell, she'd probably be busy booking a full-blown psychiatric evaluation for An. Listen, An started. Do you remember last spring, when I held your hair back while you projectile vomited the 5 pounds of spoiled shrimp cocktail you ate at Dr. Park's retirement party? Oh, yes, I do. Olive cocked her head, pensive. You ate more than me and never got sick. Because I'm made of sterner stuff, but never mind that. The point is, I am here for you, and always will be, no matter what. No matter how many pounds of spoiled shrimp cocktail you projectile vomit, you can trust me. We are a team, you and I. And Malcolm, when he's not busy screwing his way through the Stanford population. So, if Carlson is secretly an extraterrestrial life form planning a takeover of Earth, that will ultimately result in humanity being enslaved by evil overlords who look like cicadas, and the only way to stop him is dating him, you can tell me, and I'll inform NASA. For God's sake. Olive had to laugh. It was just a date. An looked pained. I just don't understand. Because it doesn't make sense. I know, but there is nothing to understand. It's just, we went on a date. But why? All, you're beautiful and smart and funny and have excellent taste in knee socks. Why would you go out with Adam Carlson? Olive scratched her nose. Because he is... It cost her to say the word. Oh, it cost her, but she had to. Nice. Nice. An's eyebrows shot up so high, they almost merged with her hairline. She does look extra cute today, Olive reflected, pleased.
Adam, ass, Carlson?
Well, yeah, he is. Olive looked around, as if help could come from the oak trees or the undergrads rushing to their summer classes. When it didn't seem forthcoming, she just finished, lamely, he is a nice asshole, I guess.
An's expression went straight up disbelieving.
Okay, so you went from dating someone as cool as Jeremy to going out with Adam Carlson.
Perfect. This was exactly the opening Olive had wanted.
I did, and happily, because I never cared that much about Jeremy.
Finally, some truth in this conversation.
It wasn't that hard to move on, honestly. Which is why, please, An, put that boy out of his misery. He deserves it. And above all, you deserve it. I bet he's on campus today. You should ask him to accompany you to that horror movie festival so I don't have to come with you and sleep with the lights on for the next 6 months.
This time, An blushed outright. She looked down at her hands, picked at her fingernails, and then she began to fiddle with the hem of her shorts before saying,
I don't know, maybe? I mean, if you really think that.
The sound of an alarm went off from An's pocket, and she straightened to pull out her phone.
Crap, I've got a diversity in STEM mentoring meeting, and then I have to run 2 assays.
She stood, picking up her backpack.
Want to get together for lunch?
Can't, have a TA meeting.
Olive smiled. Maybe Jeremy's free, though.
An rolled her eyes, but the corners of her mouth were curving up. It made Olive more than a little happy. So happy that she didn't even flip her off when An turned around from the path and asked,
Is he blackmailing you?
Huh?
Carlson, is he blackmailing you? Did he find out that you're an aberration and pee in the shower?
First of all, it's time efficient. Olive glared.
Second, I find it oddly flattering that you'd think Carlson would go to these ridiculous lengths to get me to date him.
Anyone would, all, because you're awesome. An grimaced before adding,
except when you're peeing in the shower.
Jeremy was acting weird, which didn't mean much, since Jeremy had always been a bit awkward, and having recently split from Olive to date her best friend was not going to make him any less so. But today, he seemed even weirder than usual. He came into the campus coffee shop a few hours after Olive's conversation with An and proceeded to stare at her for 2 good minutes, then 3, then 5. It was more attention than he'd ever paid to Olive. Yes, including their dates. When it got borderline ridiculous, she lifted her eyes from her laptop and waved at him. Jeremy flushed, grabbed his latte from the counter, and found a table for himself. Olive went back to rereading her 2-line email for the 70th time. Today, 10:12 a.m., from Olive Smith at Stanford EDU to Tom Benton at Harvard EDU, subject, regarding pancreatic cancer screening project. Dr. Benton, thank you for your response. Chatting in person would be fantastic. What day will you be at Stanford? Let me know when it's most convenient for you to meet. Sincerely, Olive. Not 20 minutes later, a fourth year who worked with Dr. Holden Rodriguez over in pharmacology came in and took a seat next to Jeremy. They immediately started whispering to each other and pointing at Olive. Any other day, she would have been concerned and a little upset, but Dr. Benton had already answered her email, which took priority over anything else, really. Today, 10:26 a.m., from Tom Benton at Harvard EDU to Olive Smith at Stanford EDU, subject, regarding pancreatic cancer screening project. Olive, I'm on sabbatical from Harvard this semester, so I'll be staying for several days. A Stanford collaborator and I were just awarded a large grant, and we'll be meeting to talk about setup, etc. Okay if we play it by ear once I'm there? Cheers, TB. Sent from my iPhone.
Yes!
She had several days to convince him to take on her project, which was much better than the 10 minutes she'd originally anticipated. Olive fist-pumped. which led to Jeremy and his friend staring at her even more weirdly. What was up with them anyway? Did she have toothpaste on her face or something? Who cared? She was going to meet Tom Benton and convince him to take her on. Pancreatic cancer, I'm coming for you. She was in an excellent mood until 2 hours later, when she entered the biology TA meeting and a sudden silence dropped in the room. About 15 pairs of eyes fixed on her, not a reaction she was accustomed to receiving. Hi? A couple of people said hi back. Most averted their gazes. Olive told herself that she was just imagining things. Must be low blood sugar, or high, one of the two.
Hey, Olive.
A seventh year who had never before acknowledged her existence moved his backpack and freed the seat next to his.
How are you?
Good. She sat down gingerly, trying to keep the suspicion from her tone. You?
Great.
There was something about his smile, something salacious and fake. Olive was considering asking about it when the head TA managed to get the projector to work and called everyone's attention to the meeting. After that, things became even weirder. Dr. Aslan stopped by the lab just to ask Olive if there was anything she'd like to talk about. Chase, a grad in her lab, let her use the PCR machine first, even though he usually hoarded it like a third grader with his last piece of Halloween candy. The lab manager winked at Olive as he handed her a stack of blank paper for the printer. And then she met Malcolm in the all-gender restroom, completely by chance, and suddenly everything made sense.
You sneaky monster, he hissed. His black eyes were almost comically narrow. I've been texting you all day.
Oh. Olive patted the back pocket of her jeans, and then the front one, trying to remember the last time she had seen her phone. I think I might have left my phone at home.
I cannot believe it.
Believe what?
I cannot believe you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought we were friends.
We are.
Good friends.
We are. You and Ann are my best friends. What?
Clearly not, if I had to hear it from Stella, who heard it from Jess, who heard it from Jeremy, who heard it from Ann.
Hear what?
Who heard it from I don't even know who, and I thought we were friends.
Something icy crawled its way up Olive's back. Could it be?
No. No, it couldn't be.
Hear what?
I'm done. I'm letting the cockroaches eat you. And I'm changing my Netflix password.
Oh, no. Malcolm, hear what?
That you are dating Adam Carlson.
Olive had never been in Carlson's lab, but she knew where to find it. It was the biggest, most functional research space in the whole department, coveted by all, and a never-ending source of resentment toward Carlson. She had to swipe her badge once, and then once more to access it. She rolled her eyes both times. The second door opened directly onto the lab space, and maybe it was because he was as tall as Mount Everest and his shoulders were just as large, but Carlson was the very first thing she noticed. He was peering at a southern blot next to Alex, a grad who was 1 year ahead of Olive, but he turned toward the entrance the moment she came in. Olive smiled weakly at him, mainly out of relief at having found him. It was going to be all right. She was going to explain to him what Malcolm had told her, and without a doubt, he was going to find the situation categorically unacceptable and fix it for both of them. Because Olive could not spend her next 3 years surrounded by people who thought she was dating Adam freaking Carlson. The problem was, Carlson wasn't the only one to notice Olive. There were over a dozen benches in the lab, and at least 10 people working at them. Most of them, all of them, were staring at Olive. Probably because